Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. They say age is just a number, but estimating how long you'll live can help you decide how much to put aside for retirement. New tools are available that combine traditional longevity factors with financial and lifestyle information to predict someone's lifespan.
How much income you have might be correlated with, you know, how often you can go to the doctor, and how educated you are might be correlated with, you know, not only how often you go to the doctor, but if you follow instructions that are given to you by the doctor.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson. She'll also explain how data from companies like 23andMe is being used to help determine the likelihood you'll face illness later in life. That's next. Knowing how long we'll live and how many of those years will be healthy would make planning for retirement easy. But those data points are unknown. Retirement savers can turn to online tools and services to help them get lifespan estimates to make financial planning a little easier. And Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson is here to discuss. So, Ann, traditionally, what sorts of data have financial advisors used to tell clients how much they should put away for retirement?
You know, typically what financial advisors will do is, it's some variation on this, but they'll look up some kind of life expectancy figure for the person, usually in, you know, some kind of government tables. IRS publishes some tables. Social Security Administration has estimates. So, you know, it's pretty easy to come by. Often, you know, they might use an estimate for a man, you know, just by gender, because women tend to outlive men of the same age. So they'll do that. And then, you know, often they'll add some kind of margin on, maybe five years, maybe 10 years for someone who has very long-lived relatives, just to give some kind of, you know, margin for safety.
And that's based on a framework of their biological age, what their actual age in years is.
Right. That's your chronological age. So it's like looking up, you know, how long do you expect this person to live? And then you can kind of look at how much they spend, and you get an estimate of what they might want to spend in retirement. You multiply the spending by the number of years that you expect them to live.
But now there are some new sets of data being added to this formula.
I was very interested in the issue is that, like, academic research shows that people can be on very different trajectories depending on various characteristics that they might have. We all think about genetics as playing a big role in how long we're likely to live. You know, if you have family members who've lived into their 80s, 90s, or, you know, maybe even hit 100, you tend to assume that means that you're going to live a long time. But actually, the information, scientific data shows that genetics typically account for about 20% of longevity. You know, that's not the case for everybody. You can get, you know, some kind of inherited disease that might, you know, be like fatal. But, you know, barring something like that, you know, typically genetics aren't really the overriding determinant of how long people live. So academic research shows that things like income, wealth, education play a very big role. And so you can see in the top 1% of the income distribution, men tend to live 15 years longer on average than men who are in the bottom 1%. So that's a really significant difference. So, you know, I think a lot of academics and others are waking up to the possibility of providing people with more customized personalized information about what their potential lifespan will be like.
And it could also be adding in just poor choices in terms of what they do during their life.
Yeah, lifestyle plays a big role as well.
So things like, I suppose, smoking would play a significant role.
Right. So things like smoking, you know, potentially all the things you would think about, like exercise habits, or, you know, do you have a good diet, or are you eating, you know, just junk food all the time? So that sort of thing. But, you know, lifestyle is sort of a broad category. So that can also include, you know, how much income you have, because how much income you have might be correlated with, you know, how often you can go to the doctor, and how educated you are might be correlated with, you know, not only how often you go to the doctor, but if you follow instructions that are given to you by the doctor. And, you know, it can cost a lot of money to keep yourself in good shape. So I think that all these things are sort of tied together.
And what's interesting is that what comes into this scenario now is a different age number.
So people can, you know, ultimately, it's very hard for a non-scientist like me to sort of assess the value of these tools. But, you know, some of them are being put out there by people who are experts on aging, who are, you know, academics, have very good reputations. So I would tend to have, you know, some faith in them. But yes, the idea here is to give people more individualized ideas of what their potential, their own potential lifespan will be. You know, for a woman, I don't know the exact number, but from birth, you know, maybe life expectancy is, I think, in the low 80s somewhere. But, you know, that's for the population on average. So, you know, for a person who has, you know, very long-lived relatives, who's, you know, sort of affluent, very well-educated, that number could be low by a factor of a decade.
And that could then play a role in how you map out planning for retirement.
Right, it could. I mean, you know, a lot of financial planning is about planning for these sort of like unlikely events that could have, you know, a big impact on your finances. So, for example, you know, maybe it's likely that you'll die in your mid-80s, according to some of these tools. But, you know, maybe you want to plan to live another 10 years because you want to have some cushion against the unlikely event that you live longer or that your spouse does. So, you know, it depends on how people want to, depends on how tolerant people are for risk and how they want to weigh the odds.
And even if somebody is healthy, they could still face significant medical costs along the way.
Right. So that's another issue is, you know, sort of measuring health span is another issue, by which I mean, so say you come up with some kind of estimate, like in my case, the estimate that I got when I used one of these tools is that I have a 50% chance of living to about age 88, given a bunch of my own individual characteristics.
And you have family members who lived very long lives.
Yeah, I do. And so, you know, that 88 actually might be kind of a lowball number, depending on the person who provided me with this estimate said if I wanted to go get a genetic test and get tested for this one longevity gene, he might actually assume that I would live longer. But, you know, for a lot of people, another key question is, it isn't necessarily how long am I going to live, but how many of those years are going to be spent healthy versus unhealthy? Because when you're unhealthy, you can have higher medical costs, but you also can have, you know, long-term care costs, which can be, you know, really, really high, depending on how much help you need.
What I thought was fascinating is that there's a startup that is using data from 23andMe. And you think about 23andMe, it's a fun way to learn about your genetics and your background and nationality and such. But it can really play a role in helping someone understand how their current health might translate into how many years they're going to live.
Yeah. So the person I spoke to, the company will take your 23andMe results and they'll analyze them for just a handful of genes, one of which is called the FOXO3 gene, which is associated with longevity. Now, I when I spoke to him, I asked, are there other genes that, you know, have been identified that are associated with longevity and do you test for them? And the answer was no, this is the only one that they look at the moment. They also will analyze genes that provide some kind of genes that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. Some of them are protective. Some of them put you at higher risk. So they can give you that kind of information. But, you know, there are some big caveats there. Number one is that overriding statistic that, you know, genes only account for 20% of your longevity. And it's pretty clear that lifestyle factors are more significant, even when it comes to if you carry the gene that predisposes you to a higher risk of getting Alzheimer's. That's not your fate, you know, so that people who have like there have been studies done that I've read that show that, you know, people who have healthy lifestyles with that gene have lower incidence of getting the disease than people who have unhealthy lifestyles. So, you know, I think that there has to be that big caveat attached to this sort of genetic analysis. It can be helpful to people, but it's certainly not fate.
And, you know, a 60-year-old woman could see all the data and it's determined that she has the life of a 51-year-old woman because she's in such good health. But there is no hard and fast formula for this. It seems like there are still a lot of random variables in this.
Yeah, and that's exactly what, you know, every person I interviewed told me. They said, you know, that nobody can definitively tell you. And we all know this, right? We all know that that old saying, I could just get hit by a bus at any moment, right? But that's what is the reality. Right. I mean, you know people who are very healthy who got, you know, diseases like cancer, and there's no cause and effect.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson with us. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.